Other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the most popular morning show anywhere on the internet. You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia right here on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to take part in the show today, give us a call at 323-203-0815. And now your program hosts, Sam and Mia.
Good morning and welcome to the show. It's Friday, February 7th.
Bittersweet Friday.
Oh, well, don't remind me, man. The show under this name is over. And
it is.
That's pretty sad stuff, you know. Today is Mia's last day, and we're sort of sad because, well, not sort of, I'm sad.
I'm sad too.
We've gotten used to having you here every morning,
I know.
And you are here every morning, which is not not something that everybody can say, you know.
Yeah,
some people before you.
That is true. I have made it in.
Yeah.
Promptly every morning.
You have, and I'm grateful to you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah. And you've done a body of work now. You know, your voice is going to live on forever on the website.
My awkward, crackly, squeaky voice.
I know. It'll be funny because in a few years you'll listen to it and you'll see how it's like cool because it takes you back.
Yeah, for sure.
I listened to some of the archives from 5 years ago, and it's pretty interesting to actually listen to.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what happens when you're in the public eye. Your work lives on for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Yeah. Even after you die. Some people became more famous after they died.
Yeah, that's true.
While they were alive.
It's like,
you know?
I'm not taking any nudie pictures. Those will come out after I die. Or maybe I should, and then they can release
exactly.
them after I die, so I won't care.
Exactly. Who cares after you die? You know?
Be like, oh, damn, she looked good.
Well, a bikini gets the message across pretty well.
I've got enough of those.
Yeah. It's like, it's funny. This just reminds me, I saw in the headline this morning, there's no article on this, but just a video, so I'm not going to play it. But the headline is, this model says, please don't focus on my genitals. And I don't get this one. You know, who focuses on her genitals when she's dressed? You know, because she's a model. I don't think she's a nude model or anything.
Oh.
You know, because if you're a nude model, why would you say that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So I don't know what her story is. I'll have to find out and watch the video later and see what it's about.
Don't focus on my genitals?
Yeah.
Okay.
Please don't focus on my genitals. It's like, okay, I won't. Since you asked, I won't.
Awkward. Well, I think now because she said that, like, people are like, oh, what? Is there something I should be looking
right,
for?
Right, exactly. What's she
like,
hiding there?
Right. Is like, is there like a schlong underneath that? Like,
yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah, let's see that cookie.
Is
you know?
My genitals? Like, is it really a dude? You know? I don't know. Maybe she's, you know, got like a monstrous penis she's hiding. Who knows?
Well, she looks pretty beautiful in the picture. But, I mean, yeah. It's a day for crazy headlines. I mean, check out this one. Woman breastfeeds a puppy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
What?
How That's do you
weird.
Like them apples?
Mm,
yeah.
Kay.
You know? So she. Yeah, again, that's a video, so I don't know what the story is, but I thought the headline was amazing, you know.
Okay. So. Oh, name that movie. I've got nipples, Greg. Can you milk me? Do you know where that's from?
No.
You don't?
Uh-oh, what's that from?
K Can you turn our guest mic up for like 2 seconds? He knows.
Okay. Our guest, go ahead.
Oh, you don't? This voice. How, are you serious? Okay. You're like the biggest movie buff ever. I know. You know so every movie.
I for some reason, it's not coming to me at this
moment.
Oh, my
gosh. It's from Meet the Parents.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with Ben Stiller and Robert De Niro and, you know.
You're correct. It's interesting that you mentioned that because I actually just saw that the other night. I don't remember that scene. Maybe I saw it on television, so maybe they edited it out. You never know.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. Yeah, yeah, that would kind of be, I can see that being a little bit controversial. Right. I just remember that line just being hilarious because they're talking about, you know, he's saying that he can milk a cat. You know, he's like, yeah, pretty much anything, you know, with nipples you can milk. You know, he's like, well, I got nipples, Greg. Can you milk me?
Yeah.
I just remember thinking that was just beyond hilarious.
I guess you could. I don't know if anything would come out.
Yeah. Of a dude? Yeah. You could try. I don't know.
I know. There's some great lines from movies. I was thinking of one the other day. I like the one that is like... you know, if you take the blue pill, you know, you get up in the morning, and I can't say it word by word, but you take the blue pill, you get up in the morning, you're back, and you fantasy life, and you just move on, or you take the red pill, and I'll show you just how deep the rabbit hole goes. And do you know what that's from?
The Matrix.
That's from The Matrix. Oh. That's right. My favorite movie that's of right. all times. Yeah. So, yeah, obviously I didn't say it word for word. I can't remember quotes like that.
Something like that.
But yeah.
Close enough.
Yeah, exactly. You get the gist of it. So, okay, well, we might as well bring in your
guest. I know I sort of prematurely did it, you know.
It's okay. Yeah.
It's her last day. She's allowed.
You'll want to get closer to the mic when you talk, though. Of course. So you can even pull it towards you if you want a little bit. Go ahead and introduce him to us.
This is like my best friend, Joe Montefiore.
Oh, really? The best friend.
Yes.
We're very close.
Wow, that's amazing. How cool. So how long have you guys known each other?
I've known her for at least 3 years now? 2-3 years?
Oh,
yeah,
really?
At least 3 years, yeah, maybe.
So you've had a time to build friendship and everything.
Oh, definitely, yeah. We have awesome. You know, many mutual friends in common. So.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, so you guys hang out in the same circles and stuff.
Yes. In fact, one of your guests the other day, Matt Smiley, is a really close friend of mine as well.
Oh, really?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. So we know the whole gang by now. So yep, now that you're leaving, we know the entire circle of friends there.
Just not Karen, but we'll figure out a way to get her in. Oh, there it goes.
Yeah, there it goes.
We've been having a fire alarm testing, so
yeah, they've been doing
disregard
that all day.
Disregard the beeping,
and it's,
we're very sorry.
I don't know if you can disregard it when you listen, you know, but we'll try to talk over it and stuff.
Yeah,
they're doing some fire alarm testing and shit.
Yeah,
I don't know how long it's gonna run for. This is not bad, you know. In my apartment building, it's so loud when it comes on. Sometimes people would just pull the handle down there and it starts going off in the whole building. It's so friggin' loud, you can't even stay in your apartment. You have to leave.
Right.
Oh, you know, and get out.
That's awful.
Oh, no,
it's
bad.
Don't count on it. Yeah.
Oh, man, how long is this going to do that?
I hope it's going to stop soon. I mean, they were supposed to start this early in the morning, like 6 o'clock in the morning, and start with our floor because they know we have radio shows starting at 10. But apparently they didn't finish, so... but it's not the end of the world. It's cool.
Yeah, I think it's done now.
Yeah.
I don't want to, like, jinx it. I'm, like, scared to even look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't look at it.
I know. That light is bright, too. What the heck? You're going to, like, make me deaf and blind. Thanks, fire safety people.
It's just because you're leaving. This is their way of saying don't leave.
Yeah. Yeah, stay here so this thing doesn't happen again.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. So now what are you going to do? I mean, on the days when you're not away and stuff, are you still going to get up early in the morning, or are you going to sleep in now that you don't have to come to the show in the morning?
I'll probably sleep in a little bit more, you know, just depending on what I'm doing at night. You know, I might try to get some kind of night job of some sort. And, you know, like, who knows? I'll maybe try to, you know, weasel my way back into LA Talk Radio one way or another. Even if it's just once a week, you know, that's, you know, a lot more... Yeah. You know, flexible. So
She's good at getting what she wants. So.
Yeah, she always does.
She'll be back.
Yeah.
I was like, really? I really do enjoy this. You know?
That's amazing.
And it's something I never thought of, you know, earlier in my lifetime. I never thought in a million years. Like, oh, your job is going to be to talk on the radio. Right. Like, it never had occurred to me until the opportunity kind of came up. I'm like, I'll try radio. You know, why not?
Yeah, I know. And that's why the station is so great, because it turned out to make a lot of people's dreams come true, you know, being on the radio, mm-hmm. including myself. So it's a cool thing, and I'm proud of it, you know.
Yeah.
There's one thing I'm proud of. My kids these days, man, I'm really trying to be proud of them, but they're really treating me like shit, you know?
Oh. And
why is that? Because you're a radio personality?
Maybe. No, I'm kidding. No, because it's their age, I guess. They're in their early 20s, and the only time I hear from them is when they want something, you know? And it's like, what the fuck, you know? I mean... You know, like my son last night, and, you know, I mean, it's almost embarrassing to say this, but I have to say it because it bothers me. But we were supposed to meet last night for dinner. We do every mm-hmm. week and stuff, right? An hour before that, he texts me. He says, this girl I was supposed to be seeing tomorrow, we changed it to tonight, so I can't see you, right? So mm-hmm. it's like, everybody's before you, fucking dad. I mean, what is this, you know? And so it really pisses me off. And the day before that, he's like, he knows how to text when he needs things, you know? Here, can you get me this on Amazon? Get me that on Amazon because you have fast shipping, blah, blah, blah. So I end up doing all this for him. And not to mention everything you've done for them in their lifetime, you mm-hmm. know? And it's hard because you're like God to them when they're younger. You know, I mean, you're their entire life, and then suddenly they don't give a shit, you know? Mm-hmm. So it sucks, man, and I don't know, but, you know, it might have had to do with the divorce and the fact that their mother, you know, may have raised them a certain way. I don't know.
They're in their early 20s?
Yeah, can you believe it?
It
sounds like teenagers, right?
When you were setting the premise up, I thought that you were going to say that they were teenagers.
I know.
I mean, early 20s, come on. That's,
I know, yeah. I know. My son's 20, my daughter's 20 fucking 3. And,
yeah, but you know what? It's,
you know? Yeah.
That's how old I am.
No, but I mean, that's the thing. It's like day and night, you know?
Yeah, I'm very, you know, I'm very different. Like, I wasn't a normal teenager, you know?
Right.
Like, I never rebelled. Like, I never went through that phase, you know, where my little brother, on the other hand, he's kind of the same thing. Like, he's 20 years old, but yet he still, you know, is like a little, like, rebellious with things. Like, dude, you're acting like a teenager. Like, grow up. You're 20 years old now.
Right. So some people grow.
It just depends on the people, you know, where me, I was, you know, how I am now when I was, like, 16 years old.
Right. Yeah.
You know. So
no, that's true. So you're mature, you know what's going on and stuff, but... because maybe you were encouraged to do that, you know. But with my kids, I think their mom is like constantly like protecting them and protective of them and all the shit that she does. And then they have no incentive to become independent. And that's what happens, you know. But mm-hmm. now they're facing life and the fact that, hey, you're fucking adults now, you know.
Right, yeah.
So...
I think next time they ask you for something, just tell them no.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Just say no, as they used to say in the 90s.
Yeah, but you see, it's like...
drugs. Exactly. Just say no.
Just say no.
There's a new concept, though, called parenting by guilt, you know? And it happens a lot in this generation.
I mean, it's... parenting by guilt? I mean, that sounds like a Jewish ideology.
There you go. It's exactly what it is.
Or
man.
Catholic, but yeah.
You know, it's like I'm constantly like, I'm not going to do this for them. I'm not going to do this for them. And then you go, then you feel guilty because you go, well, I can afford to do this for them, but it spoils them. You know, it really does.
Mm-hmm. Maria, so, when I came out here, you know, like my parents told me straight away, they're like, listen, you know, you have your money saved up. You need to go there. You need to make sure you work and keep your income, you know, like flowing and, you know, sustainable, because we cannot help you.
Right.
Like, you are really on your own. Like, you have your own place and you have to pay for that because we, you know, we could barely pay for our own house right now. You know, the house that I grew up in, which, you know, we don't have anymore, unfortunately. But I, you know what I mean? Like, that, I was struck down with that right away. So I knew.
Right.
I've never, I've never, you know, had to come out and ask my parents for, you know, for money, knock on wood, ever.
Right.
I mean,
wow.
Even, and that's the thing, even if, you know, they wish they could have given to me. You know, my mom, like, I wish I had money to give to you. I wish we could help you, but we cannot.
Right.
And I
think
that's
the reality.
That's the reality of it. And that's, you know, what I, you know, went out here with, and that kind of mindset.
Right.
And also the plan of giving back, you know, not only do I'm like, okay, I know you can't help me, but I want to help you. And that's where my mind was okay, I need to help myself. And then when my brother was living out here, I was helping him, you know, and trying to, you know, do whatever I can to, you know, help at home. So,
excuse me. Yeah. So
just, I think I was just thrown out here with a little different mindset too.
Right. So. No, absolutely. You know, and that's the thing. I think it's all, it all starts in the home. And that's one thing that really bothers me is the fact that I got divorced when they were pretty young, my kids. And, you know, when you don't live with them, I mean, we've been very close their whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
But when you don't live with them, you don't influence them as much as if you did live with them. So what happens is they got a lot of influence from their mother. And like I said, she just scolded them and didn't give them a chance to grow up, you know. So now they're dealing with this shit and I'm having to play second fiddle.
Well,
you know,
hopefully you'll be able to turn that around soon.
I hope so. I sure hope so. So how about you, Joe? What kind of life, what kind of childhood did you have?
I was an only child growing up.
Really?
Yeah, I was born actually in Chinatown.
Really?
Here in
L.A.?
Yeah, in downtown Los Angeles. And I went to school. The first school I ever went to pre-kindergarten was an all-Chinese school.
Really?
So I think I was the only non-Chinese kid there.
So how did you end up? Is one of your parents Chinese?
No. They actually emigrated here. They're from Mexico. Both my parents are from Mexico.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh. Wow.
So they moved here.
So they didn't know where they were moving to.
Well, they knew they were coming to Los Angeles. And at the time, I guess, you know, they wanted to be, I guess, in the center of everything. I guess they thought that downtown LA would be the center of everything. And so they moved near downtown LA, and that's where I went to school. Interestingly enough, I was born at the time at a hospital that was called the French Hospital of Los Angeles.
Really?
And it was in the middle of Chinatown.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
So there's a lot of influence.
Yeah,
on
a lot
you,
of, right? Well, not French, obviously, but, you know, but definitely that area. I mean, you know, when I was a kid, I don't remember anymore, but my mom said that I used to know how to, you know, speak and sing in Chinese and Mandarin.
Wow.
So it's kind of cool.
That's amazing.
So I,
because you hung out with the kids a lot and
obviously,
stuff. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
So, I mean, did you, it's funny because you're like in America and you probably felt like a foreigner, right? Because everybody's different.
It was definitely
you.
Like a microcosm of a different alternate universe or something. It was just, it was an interesting thing. So, you know, then after that, you know, we moved to the San Fernando Valley.
Uh-huh.
Not far from
which
here.
Which is here. That's where we are now, right?
Not far from here. And then, so I, you know, I jumped from school to school. I went to like four different schools. And then when I was about 9 years old, we traveled to Europe. And then we ended up settling in Guadalajara, Mexico for 4 years.
Wow. What was that like? I mean, did you like it?
It was an invaluable experience because I learned Spanish very well, so I'm fluent in Spanish, and obviously I learned the culture and so on and so forth.
It's great because people never think that he's going to speak Spanish. Blonde hair, blue eyes, like no way, you know. Then he just like comes up with it.
Well,
it's like,
I mean,
okay,
that's interesting because you know, obviously in Latin America there's a wide diversity of people as in any other country. So, but here in America, many people believe that Latin Americans look a certain way.
Right.
And it's obviously untrue.
Right. But for the most part, they do. I mean,
well,
every race has...
Here in America, but in Latin America, not. There is. You see it much more.
Exactly. So, I mean, Mexico is not the entire Latin America. I mean, there's like, you know, you go to South America and stuff.
Exactly.
And it's, yeah, people look different. Even the Spanish is different. And it's, yeah, it's a different thing altogether.
Yeah,
so,
it's different, different pronunciations, different dialects. They have their own jargon, their own colloquialism. You know, so I and I've been to South America, by the way. And
really?
It's funny. Most people think I'm South American when they hear me speak Spanish.
Oh, really? You have a Spanish?
I think I'm Argentinian or something like that. But I'm like, no, I'm Mexican American. So
yeah,
I So when we moved there, I was actually kind of bullied and taunted there. Really? Because I couldn't speak Spanish very well. Obviously, they called me El Gringo, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then that, you know, that changed later. But I made a lot of good friends there, and I did learn a lot. My dad got involved in politics in Mexico.
Oh, really?
So that's why we returned. That's why they wanted to go back. And so they left what they had, going on. My dad was a business owner. My mom worked at a dairy company. She was the quality control manager there. And so we went back to over there because my dad wanted to, you know, get involved in the political scene.
Right.
And, you know, and he did heavily. And after my dad passed away, unfortunately, in the mid-90s, and my mom and I returned to the U.S.
Oh. So, did he actually get involved in what he wanted to get involved in?
He was well on his way.
Really?
Say that, yes.
Uh-huh. Wow.
He was well on his way, but, you know, after that tragedy happened, and we returned, and,
right.
You know.
You felt there's nothing for you there anymore since...
Yes.
It wasn't home.
Always wanted to come back.
Right.
That's for sure. Mm-hmm. I always wanted to come back. I always, you know, felt LA was my home. And I was very close to my mom's side of the family, and they all lived here.
Oh, okay.
My dad's side, it's like half and half. Half live here, half over there.
Oh, okay. So your parents did not speak Spanish at home, huh? Because
They did speak Spanish at home.
So how did you not know Spanish?
I knew Spanish, but I knew it. Like I understood it, and I spoke it, but I couldn't speak it eloquently.
Oh, wow.
My vocabulary was not extensive, and I couldn't write it at all.
Really? Because that's interesting, because I think usually the kids speak their parents' language, right? I mean, the language that they hear at home.
Correct. And I did, but it was kind of like when a parrot or parakeet?
Uh-huh.
They repeat and what they kind of, you know.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Exactly. So it was that kind of thing. It wasn't
cool.
It wasn't a really like an immersing myself in the language.
Right. So, now, where in Mexico did they immigrate from?
My mom is from Sinaloa.
Uh-huh.
From a city called Culiacan.
Okay.
Which do you know who Cesar Millan is, the dog whisperer?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, okay, he's from there. That's, oh, okay. I usually tell people, like, where's Culiacan? I'm like, it's Cesar Millan, the dog whisperer, is from there. And also, every major drug lord from Mexico is from Sinaloa. That's right. Where, because, you know, the topography lends itself to...
Right. It's near the border, right? All these places are...
Oh, no.
No?
Sinaloa is on the coast.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
And my dad is from a state called Jalisco.
Right.
Which is more well known. I mean, like, right. That's where mariachi comes from, and many of the customs and the traditions and the dress that you see when people see traditional Mexican dress comes
right.
from Jalisco.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Oh. You see, I've heard of all these places because I used to be a telephone operator, like back when they back when they had them. You know, I mean, I'm talking the 80s here.
Yeah.
And people would, and I lived in Vegas at the time, so people would call from hotels all the time. To other countries. So they would, you know, Jalisco and Juarez and Guadalajara and all these places, you know, so I've heard of them.
Yeah, Juarez is more towards, that's the border.
Right, that's the border,
that's,
right.
That's in the north.
Uh-huh. Right. Mm-hmm. So, that's where a lot of people go through the border and shit like that, you know, across the border.
Well, yeah, I mean, where the most people transit from back and forth is right. through Tijuana.
Right.
But people do go through the border and Calexico, and they do it from Monterrey, Nuevo León into like areas like Texas and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of obviously immigration is huge in the news, and
right.
For better or for worse, it's what keeps Mexico in the news nowadays,
right.
Is immigration. Obviously because of the illegal drug trade. So
yeah. I know.
Which is rampant.
It really is, you know. And now I've been reading that they have, like, vigilante in Mexico
they
fighting
do.
All these drug lords
they
and
do.
Shit.
Well, they have vigilante groups now that I guess the government is kind of softly sanctioning.
Right, exactly.
Which I think is ridiculous, but, you know, but...
what the hell? The government hasn't been able to fight those drug lords. Maybe the vigilantes.
True, but I mean, when you have I hope that the communities that are forming these vigilante groups are able to really do it for the better good and
right.
Also become corrupt.
Right.
So, you know, I have my own opinions about all that stuff. You know, actually, I'm, you know, I'm a screenwriter, so I am writing a screenplay about about the illegal drug trade. Yes.
Wow, that's cool.
So
like a fiction or nonfiction?
It's inspired by true events.
Yeah.
So many of the, as obviously many of the events and the instances that I describe or illustrate in the screenplay are. They've happened, you know.
Oh, really?
But you know, much of the stuff surrounding it is dramatized, obviously for you know for effect, and also because you know I don't want to get persecuted.
Yeah.
You know, but I've traveled to Mexico, you know, over 15 times over the past, I'd say, 2 years.
Wow, that's a lot.
To research and to interview many people, not only from you know members of certain political parties, but you know local government. And, you know, some, I would say some criminals.
Yeah. I mean, do you really want to be involved in this shit?
You know what? I mean, it's something that interests me. I think that it's something that people don't really know about. They hear about it. They see it kind of sensationalized in stories, especially in the news. But they don't know the extent of it, especially coming from the other side.
Right.
You know, you see it more from...
From our perspective,
from your American perspective, right. And I'm from the news media here, not from the other side. And so there's, you know, obviously two sides to every coin, as they say. So,
right.
You know,
yeah.
Two sides to every story. And, you know, there is America is to blame, you know, hugely to blame for what we have going on. I mean,
really?
First of all, the policies that were enacted under Richard Nixon, we hear the drug war all the time, you know. So, the war on drugs is a policy that hasn't really.
It hasn't worked.
It's not an untenable policy,
right.
And it's also not, as you said, it hasn't worked.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of disastrous in my opinion.
Right.
But also, you know, Americans love drugs.
Yeah, we do.
So as long as that insatiable appetite for drugs doesn't subside. Which I don't
see.
Think is
so
going
you're
to
blaming
happen.
The demand pretty much for this. If the demand was reduced, I can
see
that.
Well, not only the demand, but also, as I said, the policies enacted under the Nixon administration that still, you know, are alive today.
Right.
More than ever.
Right. So you're politically inclined, right? I mean, you have
Oh, of course. I mean, I'm not
strong opinions.
I have strong opinions about certain policies.
Right.
And certain, you know.
Would you want to run for politics? for office?
No, I don't. I'm not. I have never really. I've thought about that. People have told me in the past, you know, sometime in the future, but it's not something that I see myself doing.
Right.
Just because, you know, I saw it firsthand with my dad.
Right.
And it's not something that I necessarily. Aspire to,
right?
I mean, you never know what may happen.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and I'm thinking
before we know it.
Yeah,
I have very politician.
I'm very opinionated, so you know that might get me into trouble.
Yeah,
so.
You see, I thought maybe it's passed from generation to generation. You know,
they say that it is.
Yeah,
it
so
is.
I don't know. You know, those strong opinions and and the desire to make changes. You know.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Pretty cool. So is that what you call yourself, a screenwriter now?
Yeah.
That's the main thing that you do?
Yeah. About 2 years. I used to work in town representation. I used to work for talent managers here in Hollywood.
Okay.
And also for certain production companies. And, you know, all that invaluable experience has kind of led me here.
Wow.
I kind of wanted to really... delve into my creativity.
Right.
And
were you always like the creative type? Did you
I have. I've always been
on?
The creative type. I mean, I think I'm really good at running things and managing things.
Really?
That's why I was, you know, I was hired and you know, pretty successful in what I did before. But, you know, I kind of want to...
Yeah, even that art show thing that you ran for our friends was like...
Oh, yeah, last year...
Amazing.
There was an art show
like
that
basically Joe did a lot of the work.
I mean, I was a curator and kind of like the guy who ran this art show for, you know, Matt Smiley, who was here a couple of days ago, and two other very talented artists, this music video director named Ace Norton and Emil Hirsch, who's obviously a well-known actor.
Yeah. Okay.
So
the guy from Lone Survivor.
Into the Wild and stuff. But they, you know, Matt, Emil, and Ace had an art show last year and obviously curated, and I I kind of I ran the whole thing.
Really?
But, you know.
And it was amazing. It was, like, such a well-done, like, event. I had such a good time.
Wow.
I think everybody had a good time. Yeah, a lot of alcohol flowing.
It was awesome, yeah.
You know, that's kind of what I want to do now. I shot a short film last year called Carry Cash. I have it. We're in post-production now. But it's you know, based on a completely different topic than, you know, the drug war. It's, you know,
no, I can't wait to see this.
You know, it's written and directed by a very talented girl named Mercy Smith. She's originally from New York. She used to work at Ernst & Young, and she came out here, and she's very talented. I met her at a mixer for an agency out here, a large agency called CAA. And I met her at this mixer, and we became friends. And you know, she showed me the script, and I really liked it.
Wow!
And yeah, so we developed a story together, and you know, it's her script, and she directed, and I produced it. So
wow, that's nice.
So it's based upon this guy who has multiple personality disorder, and one of his personalities happens to be a woman.
Really?
Yeah. So we see that transition and that kind of conflict between these two personalities throughout the story. So it's kind of like a psychological thriller.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we'll be we're in post-production. Hopefully I'll be able to, you know, start going out and submitting to festivals in the next probably in the next 2-3 months.
There's a classic about multiple personalities. What's it called? Like the Seven Faces of Eve or something? Do you remember that? I mean, that's like a black and white from way back when.
Mm-hmm.
But she had a personality that was a man.
Yes.
One of them.
It's the vice versa.
It's so fascinating.
It is. It really is. You know.
I mean, I think other there's been some TV shows that have covered that, like United States of Terror, which was created by Diablo Cody, the screenwriter who won an Oscar for Juno.
Okay.
United States of Terror was a show that dealt with that issue.
I auditioned for that like a million years ago back in Chicago.
Really?
Yeah, but I looked nothing like the mom. I'm like, wait, what? But it was still a cool experience. I'm like, wow, this is going to be huge. Like, it's funny that you brought that up.
Yeah, I mean, it was I love the show, but I mean, this it was a great show. But you know, this short that we shot is that United States of Terror was more of a, I'd say more of a dramedy, if you will.
Right.
And this short film.
So this one isn't a comedy at all?
It's not really a comedy. There's some comedic elements to lighten up the mood of the tone of the film,
right,
if you will. But it's really more about, you know, the psychosis that happens. But then obviously we touch on issues of transgender identity. And so it's, which I think is a topic that is, needs to be explored more.
Uh-huh.
And actually lately it's been discussed more because of, I think, obviously, you know, the fight for LGBT rights,
right,
and what's going on in Russia. And actually the other day there was a very well-known transgendered woman.
Right. I saw that on CNN.
Janet Mock. She was on Piers Morgan, and they discussed, they got into kind of like a heated debate, and it's been in the news.
Yeah, he was challenging her quite a bit.
She actually, in a very eloquent, intelligent way, responded and basically was explaining to him why she was, she had an issue with the way he had described, you know, her identity.
Yeah.
I think that's why it needs to be explored. People can't wrap their heads around those kinds of concepts.
Right.
You know, being born phenotypically a certain way, that doesn't mean that you identify that way or you feel that way.
That's
know?
True. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
you have to just be tolerant of people. Correct. That are different. That's what you're saying.
Well, just tolerant, not just tolerant, but I also think that we should kind of try to like learn about, you know, different people who are not like us.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's
because that brings, you know, I mean, that leads to tolerance and stuff when you try to empathize with people. And they call it cultural relativism or something, right? Mm-hmm, where you have to, well, you pretty much judge them from their perspective, not yours, you know, and to understand how they do things. But yeah, I see what you're saying. So now, being the creative type, did you have trouble sitting still in school and things like that? Or
I heard you ask that. I heard you ask Matt the other day about school and college or something like that.
Right.
No, I was a very good student.
Really?
I was top of my class in high school.
Okay.
Even during middle school.
Joe's very smart.
In middle school, when I was in Mexico, you know, after 6 months, I learned the language and I was the fastest reader in Spanish there. It's interesting that I kind of like, I don't want to say beat, but I kind of beat the rest of my classmates who were obviously native speakers and native. They had been born in Mexico and knew the language.
Wow.
I was very good in school, and then I went to college, and I left for about a year and a half because I was working, and then I went back and finished my degree. And a Bachelor of Arts in English.
In English?
Yeah.
Wow,
graduated
cool.
with honors and the whole nine yards. But, you know, I was more focused on... I was in my own world in college. You know
really?
What I mean? I was involved in many of the extracurricular activities on campus. The first, I'd say, 3 years of being in college. The last... Since I left for a year and a half, I always say I went to college for, like, 5 years. So the last two years, I kind of... It dissipated, you know? But, you know, I was in the school newspaper, I was the assistant news editor.
Yeah.
And
so
then,
you've always had things to say and stuff. You need your own radio show. That's what you need.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, yeah. Are you trying to prop me up here or what?
Not really, no.
You're pressuring me, putting me on the spot right now. No, I... No. So
you're going to be my replacement, Joe?
Exactly. That'd be hilarious.
Oh,
so
God.
I enjoyed my time in school, let's just say that. But I always wanted to go out into the world and really... do things on my own. And,
right. So what? So you do? Do you do different kinds of writing too, or just screenplays?
Since I was a kid, I'm a musician as well. I play guitar and I used to compose songs.
You're really good. You showed me a couple of your songs. I was like, wait, this is you? This is amazing.
Yeah, I used to write and compose songs and perform. And I actually worked in the music industry before I even started in film or television at all. And I used to work at Warner Music Group. My first job ever, I was a receptionist.
Really?
At Warner Brother Records and then at Electronic Atlantic, which are, you know, very big labels out here or, you know, throughout the world. And so I worked there and I got to meet some of my, you know.
Because you met Madonna, right? I remember you told
me
that
story. Yeah, I met Madonna once.
Like,
I met Lenny Kravitz and Anthony Kiedis and the guys from Green Day and stuff. And it was just, it was great to kind of see this, you know, as a younger guy at that time.
Right.
I was kind of obviously I was impressionable.
Yeah.
You know. So but you know, after a while I left Warner at that job. I was only there for like 6 or 7 months, and I left and I went to work at Universal Music Group and in the Latin division. You know, and I learned a lot there. I still keep in touch with the people who I used to work for, and then I finished school, and then I went into television and film, and as I said, town representation and all that stuff. So
that's nice. That's
nice. I used to work for these people who kind of represent, you know, very well-known actors and actresses and stuff like that. So
yeah, sounds cool. Yeah, but you're not into writing like. Well, you like fiction too, right?
I like short stories. I used to write a lot of short stories. I used to write poetry. I love poetry. I mean,
really?
Prose and kind of like stream of consciousness kind of stuff, like Jack Kerouac.
Yeah.
I mean, two of my professors, I'll plug them in. Two of my professors from Loyola Marymount University, who I still think about and who left an indelible imprint on me, were Chuck Rosenthal and Gil Ronsky. So if they're listening, you know.
Why would they be listening?
thank you, guys. You never know. They were great, and they actually kind of really inspired me to continue writing.
Wow, that's pretty
awesome.
I like poetry. In fact, many of my poems, if you will, became songs later on.
Really?
So, but then, you know, I started writing short stories and then obviously screenplays later.
Cool.
And, that's
I mean, is there like enough to make a living in that line of work?
Well, hopefully.
Yeah. No, I'm asking, but how are you surviving now?
I've obviously, you know, saved enough money that I'm able to do this for a while.
Awesome.
You know, until I'm ready to, you know, go out and hopefully maybe sell a script or, you know, develop it and package it and, you know, produce it. So we'll see. I mean, I'm in the midst of that right now.
Right, exactly. You know, are your parents telling you get a real job?
No, they're very supportive. My mom does pressure me, but as a whole, they support what I do.
Because
I'm very passionate about it.
Yeah,
as you can see.
Yeah, I can tell. Yeah, amazing.
So they don't really bother me.
Yeah.
I mean, my mom in this case, because obviously I don't, you know.
Right.
Just my mom. But, you know, my mom's sister is also very much involved in my life. My aunt. She's like my second mom. I always say my second mom.
Wow, how cool.
She actually raised my mom, because my mom's mother died when she was fairly young. So my mom's sister ended up...
like raising her.
Raising her and everyone else. You know, there was three sisters, one brother.
Wow.
And she was the oldest one, my aunt. And
yeah.
So she raised my mom, my aunt, my other aunt, and then my uncle.
Wow, what a story.
She's kind of like the pillar of our family.
Yeah, the opposite of my kids. Yeah. That's what she is.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm bad-mouthing them quite a bit today. But I'm, like, really disappointed. You know, I really am. I mean, it's like you try to look the other way. But it just finally you have to face the reality and say, I'm not fucking important in their lives anymore.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, go back to good things. So now... how did you guys meet? Do you remember, like, 3 years ago? Was it like mutual friends?
I actually think we met. I think that the first time we actually met was at a club. It wasn't at Sayers.
Could it have been Sayers? Something
I think that we were at Sayers, where many of our friends hang out and like to go, especially when they have performances on like Thursday nights.
Yeah.
And I think that's the first time we actually met. So you know, when you meet certain people, you just click.
Right.
And we clicked.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah. Mia is easy to click with, because she's not like, she's not a difficult person, you know?
Mm-hmm.
She goes with the flow and stuff. And that helps, you know?
She's lovely.
Yeah.
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 She's very easy to talk to.
Yeah, it was through Karen, because she was, like, my first, you know, female friend when I moved out here. She was, like, my first, like, best friend. And, you know, and she introduced me to such a huge group of amazing people, you know, and that's how I met Joe. But, yeah, it's great, because he's, like, one of the only people that, like, we could just sit somewhere and we can talk for 5 hours and, like, not even realize that 5 hours just went by.
It's funny,
and we'll be having, like, really good conversations.
2 weeks ago, we went to this restaurant on Sunset. And we got there like at, I don't even know, 2 o'clock.
Yeah, maybe.
And it was like 6 o'clock, and we were still there. And really? You know, the waiters were like, "Dude, like, you guys need to leave." You know? We were like, "Whatever." Can you refill my drink, please? But we ordered enough that I think that they were. I left them a good tip.
Yeah, but they didn't actually tell you to leave.
No, but you know, sometimes you look at them and they're kind of like
they give you the
look. They went through like several like shift changes.
Yeah, exactly.
In the meantime, so we'd have like a new waitress.
Yeah. Like, they're staring at you and kind of, you know, sneering at you. They're like, hey, what are you doing here? Who are you? Do you want to order anything more?
Uh-huh.
I know. It's like you're taking up a seat here.
Exactly.
I know. Just like the people that go to Starbucks and sit there all day with a cup of coffee, you know?
Yeah.
Take up a table or two and with their laptops, whatever, and they just forget themselves.
Yeah. There are a lot of writers. I mean, I don't want to, you know, kind of like bash my fellow writers, but I rarely go to coffee shops. If I do, it'll be... you know, I'll go for like an hour at the most, but I do know certain people who do go and sit in coffee shops for hours and hours. But you know, I think coffee shops lend themselves to that,
right?
You know?
Exactly,
that's what they're for, I guess. But
right,
especially out here. But I do know what you mean. There's certain people who go and sit in a coffee shop and they're there for 8 hours.
Yep.
And they're still sipping on their, you know, on their cappuccino from
right,
you know, 5 hours earlier.
But that's a great thing about America. America is that you can do these things. You know, you go to other countries, they'll fucking kick you out. You know?
Yeah.
Tell you, sir, you have to leave now.
They will. There's some countries that are very blunt.
Yeah, they're very blunt.
Mm-hmm.
Many countries are. I mean, we're a pretty polite society, you know. People say Americans are rude. I don't think so at all. You know, you got to look at things relatively,
about, like,
you know,
customer service. You know, it's like whatever the customer wants, whatever the customer wants, make them happy.
Right. But even like just personally, you know, not at work or anything, people are more, you know, more polite, more accommodating, more tolerating than in other places, you know. So it makes it more fun to be around people, you know. That's one thing you were talking about, Israel. You like to go there and stuff to visit. To me, it's difficult.
They're very
to
blunt.
Go
they're
back
very
there.
Blunt there.
Right.
And it's very, they're, I would say they're, I'm not going to say.
They're blunt. They can be rude too, you know.
Yes, they are.
And
I kind of like it in a way, because it's refreshing. Let's just say that. It's refreshing for me. In Mexico, they're very diplomatic in Mexico, but they can be, once people get pissed over there, it's a whole nother story.
Really?
But in, or certain places in Europe, you know, right. Italians, you know, Spain, I've been to all these places, but right. Israel is one of the places that I'd say, like, it's when I go, I'm like, wow, this is refreshing. Even the way people drive there is, I rented a car last year, for a very good friend's wedding, and I rented a car, and I've never dealt with that kind of just madness on the road. People drive like shit there, and
I can't stand driving there, man. It's like, and every time I go there, I'm just like uptight the whole time I'm there. Don't ask me why, but I think my situation is unique because, you see, in a way, you feel you're going home because you grew up there and stuff. But I'm not like them. My home is here. And I'm more an American than I am an Israeli by far. Mm-hmm. You know, I've lived here. You know, there I lived 16 years. And it left a big mark because that was my childhood. But, I mean, I've lived here for 35 years, for crying out loud. So when I go there, it's like I get disappointed and I get offended by them. You know, because maybe I have higher expectations than if a tourist would go.
You've Americanized.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, so that's the way it is. But when were you there last?
In July.
Oh, really?
July of 2013.
Yeah. That's when I was there, yeah. too. Yeah.
I was there for about 2.5-3 weeks.
Really? Mm-hmm. Do you have any family, any relatives there, or you just go as
no?
A
I mean, I'm sure tourist? I'm sure we have like extended family, but no, I don't really have family that I go and visit. I do have many friends there.
Oh, you do?
You know, so I do visit them and keep in touch with them. And
Did you make those friends?
Actually, I went on Birthright Israel back in.
So you went on Birthright?
Yes,
okay,
I went on Birthright Israel, and then I've gone ever. You know, I've returned.
Right. It does work. You know, I mean, they give those. They give you like for Jewish kids and stuff, you know.
Yeah, that's what your son did. Yeah, but that's what my son did. Yeah.
Exactly, right.
Yeah, so I've enjoyed it every time I go back, and you know, every time I go, I feel like something's new and something's changed in Israel for the better. You know,
you think for the better?
Yes, I mean, good. When I saw so many things that were much better than the first time I went.
Right. But can you believe the American influence there? I mean, it's amazing, right? You go into a mall, all the brands are in English.
Yeah, well, American, you know? And European, obviously.
Right.
People when I say they go to, I go to Israel, they're like, oh, you know, it seems like it's a dangerous place or it's in the Middle East. And I go, it's not. It's very European.
Right.
When I go there, I feel like I'm in Europe.
Right.
You know,
It is very European. You know, you have the coffee shops, you know, sitting on the sidewalks.
Dinner. You don't eat dinner until 11 o'clock or midnight. And then you go out at 2 in the morning because, you know, you come back home from going out at like 6 or 7 in the morning.
Right.
It's, as I said, it's like Europe.
Right. You know? Oh. It is. But there's a lot of American influence there. You know, I mean, the language, the culture, music.
Definitely.
You know, all the culture, I think. A lot of culture was imported there because, Israel is like a true friend. You know, it's not like it can do a lot for America, as could happen vice versa. But at the same time, it's a place where you can rely on to be your friend when you need them, you know. Mm-hmm.
In the Middle East, obviously, they are. You know, very, you know, useful, right. I will say, you know,
yeah.
But I mean, irrespective of the politics, I think just the culture and the people and the country is, they're great. It's a great country and it's great people. And I think people need to see, you know, Israel for what it is, not for all the, you know, all this extraneous crap that you hear all the time.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and it's hard to believe that people would still criticize the Jews so much after 6 million have perished, you know. I mean, the thing is that what does it take to finally conclude that these people deserve their own country so they don't get slaughtered again, you know? But that's all people have been trying to do since Israel was started, is to slaughter all the Israelis and Jews. So go figure, you know. I mean, it's not an easy neighborhood to live in down there, let me tell you. Yeah. Okay, well, Joe, do you have anything to promote? Do you want people to find you?
Well, I mean, the short film, Carrie Cash, you can go to carriecashthemovie.com, and Carrie is spelled C-A-R-R-I-E.
Right, like so, to carry something.
Yeah, so www.carriecashthemovie.com if people want to check out. Obviously, it's the website needs to be updated a little bit because we're in post now. post-production, and hopefully, you know, we'll be updating more about the short film in the future.
Sounds good. And what about Twitter, Facebook? Should people find you, or you don't want to be found?
No, you can just go to the website. Everything is go to the website.
Oh, it is on that website?
Everything's there. So,
cool. You know what I mean? Plus, always, you know, I just think we never should give out links or anything, because it's easier than to remember the link to just go on Google and Google the whatever it is.
Google
the
Carrie name. Cash. Yeah.
Exactly.
Carrie Cash the movie.
You know, or Joe, you know. Google Joe and he's going to come up first.
Yeah, probably. Hopefully good things, yeah.
There you go. Well, thank you for joining us, Joe. You're definitely a lot of fun. Good luck to you. And we wish you big things. You
thank
know?
You so much. I
of
appreciate
course. It. Of course,
yeah.
And take care of Mia while she's gone.
I
you know?
Definitely will.
Yeah. Well, Mia, awesome. This is it.
This is it.
This is it, my friend. What are we wrapping, like 7-8 months now together? Something like that, right?
Since June, officially, was when
yeah.
I started.
Yeah, so it's about 7.5 months or so, wow. 8 months. And we've had a great run, I think, you know?
Give her like a round of applause or something?
Yeah. That's true. Thank you, Mia.
Aww,
you know?
Thanks, guys.
Actually, we should have brought a cake, too,
exactly.
You know? But
well,
it shows you how I don't think about these
yeah,
things.
Yeah, we'll go get a cake after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe like a shot at tequila or something. Okay.
Oh, hey.
All right. Well,
oh,
all
my.
The best to you, Mia.
Thank
we know
you.
You're going to make it big. And like I said, don't forget us minions when you make it big. I know you love minions, but don't treat us like
I do
so,
love minions.
As such.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, Mia.
Thank you.
And thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll be back soon.
Been listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for the show, or if you'd like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please send an email along to sam@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning with Mia is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.